Today on Misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. I mean, we're going to both get in a lot of trouble for saying that.
Oh, for f***ing sake, I don't care what you do. Little pedophile on the prairie. You don't need that, Melissa Gilbert. Sydney Sweeney's a sex bot. I love her body. Can we all agree that her face is like a 6.5? There's a level of fame where you get everything you want, everything you've ever desired. You can have tigers and lions in your f***ing house, but some of these guys go, let me try a guy. I don't know. I like a finger up my ass, mom might say. Let me try more than a finger. Now, here come the Somalians. They've learned how to take hundreds of millions from our government and send it overseas to their people to basically help finance terror around the world. So, yeah, they got to f***ing go. Forgive me for this joke, but did you get an invite to Tiger's 50th?
Today's guest is one of my favorite people to have on this show, and honestly, one of the last true originals left in gossip and media. AJ Benza is an OG gossip columnist, a former New York Daily News and also Page Six staple, a longtime media personality, and someone who didn't just report on celebrity culture, he helped shape it. Before podcasts, before TikTok tea, before anonymous blinds became a business model, there was AJ. He was breaking stories when people still answered their phones and secrets actually stayed secret until they didn't. And today, AJ is the host of the wildly popular podcast, Fame is a Bitch, with spinoffs like Politics is a Bitch, Relationships are a Bitch, and more. Because in AJ's world, pretty much everything is a bitch, and he says it exactly how he sees it. And that's what you're going to get today. We cover all the hot and uncomfortable topics. Melissa Gilbert's husband, Timothy Busfield, is being held on child sex abuse charges. The very buzzy and very messy drama surrounding Members Only Palm Beach. What's really being whispered about with Sean Diddy Combs, Tyler Perry, Will Smith, and why suddenly Hollywood seems to be having, let's call it, a collective identity moment. We also get into all the news allegations surrounding Julio Iglesias and, of course, AJ's unapologetically controversial take on all of it. You may not agree with AJ Benza, and honestly, you probably won't agree with him on everything, but you cannot deny that he's a riot. He's fearless, and he somehow still knows everybody on the planet. This is a no filter, no PR, no safe space conversation, and that's exactly why I love having him here. So buckle up. This one is unhinged, hilarious, and very, very misunderstood. Welcome, AJ Benza. I've missed you. Why are you in Chicago? Did you move there?
No. You look great, by the way. Really, marriage agrees with
how
you.
How does this look?
Man, if I didn't, in my younger days, I would have snatched you and pulled that ring off your finger, baby. But no, you look great. No, I'm in Chicago. My sister and my brother-in-law live here, and he's really in bad health. So I'm helping her out since Christmas, and he's got a really bad illness. So I'm here for them, and now it's snowed again, so that sucks. It's like eight inches of snow on the ground. But I'll be leaving in about a week, just doing my thing as a good brother.
Well, that's very nice of you, and I'm so glad you made the time for us. So sure. I want to hop right into this.
Go ahead.
There's so much going on, and I have a list of things I want to get to, but I'm just curious because you host your amazing podcast.
Yes.
I just want to know, is there something in particular that you're covering and obsessed with right now, or is it just all the same hot topics that I'm going to cover with you?
I mainly do hot topics, but I have a Politics as a Bitch show as well, and I've been talking about Minnesota a lot. And I really want to, this weekend, I'm going to do a show on the fact that there's so much anger coming from women that I just find it, I'm not too shocked by it because a lot of women have been changing ever since Donald Trump became president the first time. And I don't see enough men out there. And I'm concerned because men can go out in the street and cause some shit because we can fight. We know our limits. We've been in the schoolyards and the playgrounds and the mean streets of New York or where have you. So we know how to size someone up. These women who are in their homes or this lesbian who got shot and killed, they don't understand what a man can do, especially if he's given the right to hurt you if you fuck up their investigations.
Right.
So they're walking out there nuts. They're shaving their heads off. I don't know how many men can handle your wife just shaving her head because she's mad that Trump's in office. Basically, I think that there's no more sex in marriages. I think these women are just sex starved. The men don't give a shit. And they're out there just trying to have some kind of excitement in their life. And they're going to get killed over it. It's just ridiculous.
Wait a minute. But these two women, this woman that got shot was a lesbian. So she's, I mean, there's...
You know, anybody who was married and had children with a man then turns lesbian, I'm very suspect over. You know, I mean, I'm sure she likes women, but it just doesn't sit right with me. You had three kids with your man, and now you like a woman, and you like her because she shaved her fucking head and looks like a female boxer. What are you doing?
Right. Well, I've never understood that. Yeah, because if you like a butch girl, then why don't you just date a man? I don't get it. But anyway, I'm not a lesbian, so I don't know. Not that there's anything wrong with it. But
no, have a ball. Do your thing. I don't care.
But hold on. What is your take on what happened there? Who do you think was the right and wrong?
I make no bones about being a Trump guy, and I think he gave his orders to ICE to get to that state. That's one state out of many that are going to have problems with fraud and all sorts of stuff. And I think what he's doing is great. He's cleaning up the country. I know it can look ugly at times. You're getting rid of people. I get it. It's not a pretty sight, but it's what we have to do to clean up this country after years of abuse. And he's the guy to do it. So my take is she was in the wrong because she was out there for hours. It wasn't the first day. Her and her wife take classes to learn how to be anarchists. They send their son to a school that doesn't even talk about academics or learning. It's all about social justice, a K-5 school, which is insane. So they're agitators, professional anarchists. She's out there. The guy was hit by the truck. I don't care what people say. He had internal bleeding. He went to the hospital. He was dragged 100 yards a year earlier by another crazy driver. So he shot.
So he was a little gun shy or whatever, trigger happy, whatever you want to say, because he had this incident a year before, right?
I think that definitely played into it, sure.
Yeah.
But then again, I don't think you're going to see many federal agents standing in front of trucks anymore or SUVs. I think it's dangerous. But that woman wasn't attempting a K-turn or a U-turn. She was fleeing. And she knows she got too deep into it. Her girlfriend, her wife said, drive, baby, drive. And she drove, and the guy got hit, and he shot. Normally, a cop shoots center mass. You know, you can't aim for a leg or a hip. You shoot center mass. Center mass was behind the wheel. So he shot up above it and hit her head. I feel bad for the dog in that car more than I feel bad for her.
I was going to ask. I mean, it's a terrible thing to say. What happened to the dog?
The dog's okay, but I feel more for the dog than the woman. Why do you bring a dog out for that kind of situation? What's wrong with you? See, if you're a man.
The whole thing was just so upsetting in general. So I really have tried to stay out of it. I don't know why they had to insert themselves. I mean, ICE was there clearly to get an illegal immigrant. And I don't know why they got involved.
It's all hatred of Trump. All of this is because they can't stand Trump. Who wouldn't want their neighborhood cleaned up? Getting rid of fraud, getting rid of people who are illegal, who cause crime and disruption in your neighborhood. There's no reason why you wouldn't want that to go down. So it's all about we can do anything. As long as we hate Trump, we have to keep doing this and keep doing this. He's made the other half of the world and the other half of the American people berserk because of his tactics, his personality, which doesn't bother me at all. I mean, sometimes I think he shouldn't have said that. But overall, yeah. I'm thrilled with what he's doing and I want more of it. So,
okay. Well, it's interesting because I love you and I respect anything you say. I'm not a MAGA, but I don't have a problem with, like, you know, listen, I live in Palm Beach, Florida. Everybody here is MAGA.
Everybody's MAGA.
And it's fine. I just can't deal with the people that are so overly hateful.
Right,
and
exactly.
I know that a lot of you guys think that the libtards are hateful as well. I just, listen, I'm in the middle. And it upset me that a woman got shot. That had nothing to do with it. It upset me that she inserted herself and got involved. Right. So, you know, the whole thing is upsetting on all levels. I don't like to get involved in it because there's so many sides and everybody gets angry. And I've tried to, in my 51 years, I'm going to be 51 next week. I have learned that I don't want to be in that anger zone anymore.
I know.
I cannot
you know
get
what?
Involved in it.
You know what? I get it. And I'll tell you something. My, now ex-girlfriend, but we're very close. She's the same way. She's more conservative than liberal, but she doesn't want to deal with the anger and the people and the fighting. She's just like kind of pushed herself away from it. Doesn't want to watch the news anymore. And look, one of my good friends for 31 years is Bill Maher. We hang out, we play basketball. I go and fly in his plane to Vegas with him. We don't talk politics. We just laugh about shit that's going on in the world and Hollywood.
I love Bill Maher.
Yeah, he's the, I, 31 years ago, we became friends. We used to double date in New York City. He's phenomenal. I love the guy. He's so brilliant. And he's the only one that I've seen in so long that's at least trying to bring people toward the middle, toward common sense more. And he's being ostracized for it. You saw it at the Golden Globes. Wanda Sykes had to tell him, try less, try doing more less.
And I didn't get that. First of all, she went through the list of people. She started rudely with him. Yeah. I found that uncomfortable. She did. All the way to the last person, I forget who it was, and she was basically like, I love you. It made no sense.
It made no sense. And she said, Ricky Gervais, I'm going to accept this award. Because Ricky Gervais is an atheist, and he talks about the trans community. And she said, if you win, I'm going to accept your award and thank God and the trans community. Then she told Bill, do less, try less. All because these are people that are bringing common sense back with their comedy or their political shows. Just be more sensical. You know, why don't you want your neighborhoods cleaned up? Why do you want riffraff coming over? They just found a Somali senator.
I was just gonna say about this. What's going on there with the Somalians in Minnesota is insane. And it's kind of fascinating that this young kid uncovered all of it.
I know.
And at first when I started to see those posts that he was making, I was like, oh, that's crazy. Is that real? And then it was one after one after one. And for people that are listening that don't know what we're talking about, the government was funding these Somalian daycare companies and giving them grants or whatever for millions and millions of dollars. And this kid went with a cameraman to these Somalian centers where no kids existed.
Of course.
And no one was there working. It was shocking. And, you know, this is a place run by someone who is going to be the vice president of the United States, right?
Not anymore.
So it's kind of shocking that all this stuff is happening. So,
well, I think that the inside word is Kamala Harris chose Tim Walz because he was able to raise like $35 million very quickly for the campaign. And that lit up her eyeballs. But it's not only learning centers and childcare. The transportation services, translating services. Do you know if a Somalian goes to a doctor or their kid has to go to a doctor, they want to go to a specialist two states away. They'll Uber. The government will pay for their Uber hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars to go there with a translator that gets hundreds of dollars an hour so the Somalian can understand the illness. Then they Uber back, and that costs. This is happening everywhere. They don't go to the nearest doctor. They take an out-of-state doctor because the government's going to pay for them. When I drove a cab many years ago, there are people who are on Medicaid and such that they don't pay for cabs. So you knew when you were picking them up, you weren't going to get a tip because they don't pay for the fare. And it happened. So look at New York City. I don't know how long, the last time you've been there. It's been a while for me. But all the way in, you know, Roosevelt, all the way on the east side, there are so many neighborhoods or areas in that neighborhood that are just phone stores, you know, loan stores, all these places where you can send money, and they all ship money overseas. They all ship. So my father was an undercover cop many years ago, and he told me we only really notice minorities when they invent their own crimes, and then they're on our radar, like the Italians, like the Jews, like the Irish. Now here come the Somalians. They've learned how to take hundreds of millions from our government and send it overseas to their people to basically help finance terror around the world. So yeah, they gotta fucking go. If they're illegal, they really gotta go. And you see these guys, one guy they grabbed was illegal. He came at the agent with a snow shovel. There was a video of him beating the guy. How do you want these people in your neighborhood?
Right.
It's just hatred of Trump. That's all it is.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So let's move on to some of the hot topics that are happening right now. To me, the biggest thing that I was shocked about was that Melissa Gilbert's husband has been accused of sex abuse charges on two young boys. So for people listening, let me just read what the headline is or whatever, what's happening here. Melissa Gilbert, who's best known for her iconic role on Little House on the Prairie, is at the center of a disturbing story involving her husband, actor and director Timothy Busfield. Busfield, who has appeared in projects like The West Wing and Field of Dreams. I mean, his face is recognizable. I didn't really know who he was or what his name was, but he turned himself into authorities, I think it was yesterday, after being accused of criminal sexual contact with two minors. According to prosecutors, the allegations involve inappropriate conduct with two boys, and a judge has ordered him held without bond as the case proceeds. He's denied all the allegations, and Gilbert has publicly stated she's standing by her husband as the legal process plays out. And as of now, she has taken down all of her social media, her Instagram, everything. I actually read the documents that were filed. They were lengthy.
Yeah.
And long story short, it looks bad. I mean, first of all, it doesn't say anything about like that he had sex with them.
Right? Yeah.
It says that he fondled them on set. And now I'm forgetting the name of the show.
The cleaning lady.
Yeah. All right. What's your thought on the whole thing?
Initially, look, we've been down this road with a number of celebrities now. Last week was a big one. Daniel Stern gets a prostitute. Kiefer Sutherland gets assault in a rideshare. But Timothy Busfield, I remember his show 30-something. I watched that in my 30s way long ago. I didn't want to believe it because I think a lot of people come after stars in that capacity when they direct children. I've been on sets with Ron Howard, directed a movie of mine, and he had to tickle a little boy's legs because he wouldn't laugh during a scene. Sometimes directors have to do that. It could be that, or the more I read about it and looked into it, you know, this guy does have two different sexual assault accusations in his past, in the 90s and the 2000s. Both were settled with cash, and I believe NDAs were signed, so we won't know anything about that. And now,
with children?
No, these weren't children, but yesterday, after he turned himself in, there was a father came out and said, look, my daughter worked on at the B Street Theater, which she runs, and he kissed her. She was 16. He put his hands down her pants and felt her private area. And this father came out the day he turned himself in. So that's another situation he's got to go through. His talent agency dumped him, which normally happens. Now his publicist will dump him. And we've seen this before during the Me Too era. I don't want to believe it. Not that I love the guy, but I just feel like I don't think he did it. I just, my gut tells me they're going for him. But I've always been the guy who jumps on kid diddlers, but something tells me I don't think he's guilty this one.
So here in the paperwork, and I don't have it in front of me, but the gist was it went through the entire investigation. And there's this one cop who's going through all the people he talked about. And what stood out to me, and that was interesting, there were people that said he was creepy and he just, you know, he's just a creepy guy in general. Mm-hmm. But there was an actress on the show, and I forget her name, but she was an actress in this movie who said that the mother of the two boys specifically said, I'm going to come after him because I guess they didn't bring the boys back.
Right.
And they didn't want to have them return as a returning character, whatever.
Yeah.
And the mother was very vengeful and actually said out loud, I'm going to make sure he pays for this, meaning Timothy.
Yeah, that's what resounded in my ears. That resounded in me. I didn't like that statement. The actress who starred in that show, I forget her name too, but she brought that news out and she told Timothy that news. Yeah, that sucks. That doesn't sound right.
But, what's terrible about it also is that she had told that to a cop originally or in some original investigation. But when this cop went to get her statement, she wouldn't cooperate and instead sent a voicemail to him or whatever, saying, I don't want to be involved in this. So she wouldn't repeat that and go on the record saying that, which sucks for him because I think that gives him, you know, some sort of credibility that it didn't happen. Whereas everyone else said he was creepy. So it'll be interesting to hear what happens. Listen, I've always thought it's one thing to, you know, have sexual acts with like young children, but I didn't know that he may be gay. I mean, it's one thing to do it with boys versus girls, right? I mean, all the allegations. I did read that in the 90s, he was accused of sexual harassment or whatever, but with a woman or a girl.
Yeah, I don't think he's gay. I just think that he has maybe if this is all true, that he has a predilection for youth. And look, the guy's got 700 credits as a writer, director, producer, actor. I don't think there's anybody who has more than that. That's insane. Right. So he's been around a lot of sets. So if these are three or four allegations after 700 different opportunities, I don't know. Not that I like him. I just feel like this is going to be a nothing burger. That's what I feel.
Well, no matter what, I mean, his reputation is done.
Yeah, he's shot. Right? Oh, he's done. He's done.
And how do you come back? Like, if my husband was accused of that, like, how that's going to affect their relationship, regardless of if it was true or not. Like, how mortified is she? How angry is she?
Oh my God! You know,
all these things. So it'll be very interesting to see how
little pedophile on the prairie. You don't need that, Melissa Gilbert.
Okay, so which brings me to another one. I feel like everybody's being charged with sexual stuff. So Let's see. Julio Iglesias. Did you read about this? This just came out.
I saw this last night.
Within 24 hours. International music icon Julio Iglesias, who, by the way, is now in his 80s, is facing allegations from former employees who claim sexual and physical abuse while working in his residences abroad. Spanish prosecutors are reportedly reviewing the claims, though no formal charges have been announced at this time, and he has denied any wrongdoing. This poor guy, I mean, this is going to affect his legacy also.
It will, but then again, I mean, he's too much of a brilliant performer for so many decades that his real fans won't leave him. How much longer can he sing anyhow? Is he even singing still in his 80s? I don't know.
Isn't that part of his persona? Like, he's a little swarthy. Yeah.
For all the girls I loved before. He's a lover. He's a Latin lover. I don't know. They get to be this old, and I think a lot of people feel like there's some money at the end of the rainbow. If I just accuse him of something, he'll give me something as a parting gift. Same thing happened to Smokey Robinson. How great has Smokey Robinson been for 70 years? And now they're coming out saying he abused his housekeepers. And I tend not to believe it when they're this old.
Right.
I just think that certain people weaponize themselves and know they can get some money out of somebody, because most people don't want to go to court and go to trial. They just go, what does she want? Get my lawyer on. Does she want $100,000? Give her $100,000. I have $200 million. Give her $100,000. Let me get out of this shit. That's what it comes down to. I don't believe these stories. A lot of
them. But here's another one though with Tyler Perry. And these are
I believe that story.
Okay. So for people that are listening, let me read the blurb about him. Tyler Perry, who's one of Hollywood's most powerful filmmakers and studio owners, is facing multiple sexual assault lawsuits filed by men who allege abuse tied to professional relationships. One lawsuit seeks tens of millions of dollars. I think it was like $77 million or something crazy.
Ridiculous.
Accusing Perry of sexual assault, battery, and emotional distress, Perry has categorically denied all allegations, calling them false. No criminal charges have been filed yet in these, but lawsuits have reportedly caused some industry figures to distance themselves publicly as the case moves forward. So you believe that these might be true?
I do believe it. Look, I go back to the Harvey Weinstein case, which was a friend of mine, and I still consider him a friend. I began my podcast when Harvey went nosedive. And I know a lot about these guys, these powerful men in Hollywood, and they have such immense power when they meet somebody younger and can promise them stardom and fame, that it really can fuck people's heads up. And Tyler Perry doesn't want to admit that he's gay. That's the first red flag in
my book.
Is
he still not out? This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. The new year doesn't require a new you, maybe just a less burdened you. I think a lot of us walk around carrying things we don't even realize we're holding on to. Fear, pressure, the need to be perfect, doubt about whether we're doing enough or being enough. And sometimes what really helps is having an unbiased perspective, someone whose role is to help you better understand your relationships, motivations, and emotions so you can let go of what's weighing you down. BetterHelp makes it easy to get matched online with a qualified therapist. They work with fully licensed therapists in the U.S. who follow a strict professional code of conduct. BetterHelp also does the matching work for you. You answer a short questionnaire and they help connect you with someone who fits your needs. And if your first match isn't quite right, you can switch to another therapist anytime. With over 30,000 therapists and more than 5 million people served globally, BetterHelp has an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for live sessions. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com. That's BETTERHELP.com. And thanks for listening to Misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel.
I don't think he even talks about it really. Wow. I think he acts like it's a non-issue, but it is an issue because the only people coming after him are men. And I believe these guys who were saying that he did this and that, promised them roles, but there's some sour grapes mixed in with these people who are suing him. Why do you keep going with them? Why do you keep dating them? Because they want to be famous. They want that shot at fame. So partly it's their fault. If you keep going back to an abuser or somebody, you know, look, you're a woman. You've been out with many guys, you know, want to get in bed the first night, but you know how to handle yourself. Tyler Perry can handle himself, but the people that he's with, they just assume I'm going to get all the riches I deserve. I've studied. I'm an actor. He's my guy. Maybe I got to sleep with him one night. And then suddenly your acting isn't up to par and the part doesn't last and you're left on your own again. So what do you do? I got to sue him. He put his hand down my pants. You let him put his hand down your pants. You were there. You went to his house. I don't like this shit. But I don't think, look, you can't wear a dress your whole career and act like you're straight. And when men come after you and say that you touched me, I would give it 80% he did. But that 20%, I'm mad at the people, the so-called victims, because they do this to themselves. You know, they bring themselves in front of a guy that you know can make you famous, but if he doesn't do it fast enough or you're a clock, then you have some kind of revenge tactic. I don't like that shit. Same thing happened to Harvey. Not saying he's an angel. If he raped one girl, he deserves to be in prison. But there are many women who came out against him who just wanted to be famous and it didn't work out.
I agree with you. I mean, yeah. We're going to both get in a lot of trouble for saying that. But I mean, I do think it's true. And listen, I have another question for you. You're a guy. Mm-hmm. You're really hetero, alpha, whatever. What mm-hmm. is the deal with all these men being gay? I mean, are all men gay secretly? Like, what the fuck? Like, Will Smith, I also saw, is now in trouble for touching a guy, too. Like, why is everybody gay secretly?
Listen, 30 years ago, I was driving in a car with Al B. Shore. Remember Al B. Shore, the great R&B singer? We're friends. And I love Al B. Tough guy. Al B. would fight at bars. We were great together. So we're getting in New York City, and Albie liked transvestites. There were a lot of transvestite hookers in the city, my neighborhood, the West Village. And we'd ride through the neighborhood, and they would run after his truck. He liked it. Then Will Smith calls one night. We're in the car together. He wants to have a party, him and Jade, up in some hotel room uptown. Bring a girl, bring a guy. And Albie's telling me this like I'm into it. I go, I'm not into that shit, man. He goes, I'm going to go. And he got another buddy of mine who I won't mention, but that guy went with him. With their girl, and they shared each other's women and men. Again, I'm not putting them down for whatever their sexual kink is, but I was there for the phone call. Will Smith has always been this way. So when things like this pop up, I know it's true. I was there 30 years ago. I heard it. I don't know why they're all gay. I think they don't want to go through Hollywood with one hand tied behind their back. I think they want all the opportunities they can. There's a guy today who just. So one of the actors on Different Strokes, I think it is a black kid. His marriage is over. You see a picture of the wife. It's a man. There's no doubt he married a man. I forget the actor's name, but it'll pop up in the news. Check TMZ. He married a fucking man. I don't know what's going on. I think that, look, when I was in college, and I was a journalism major with a theater minor. But when I went to the theater, I'm not going to lie to you. I wanted to do all the Al Pacino plays. But there was a lot of hot girls in theater, man. I was having a ball. But there were a lot of gay guys in theater. And I think a lot of those gay guys begin in theater and go up the ranks in Hollywood. And if they're handsome and strong looking, they can't come out. And eventually, who they really are comes out. Will Smith became a superstar. Now we're getting to know what I knew 30 years ago, that he ain't all there. Mickey Rourke's the same way. I was best friends with Mickey 100 years ago. Mickey always looked at guys. He asked me if my nephew was gay one night. I said, no. He said, oh, too bad. It's such a weird, fascinating thing about men in Hollywood that I never doubt it when I hear somebody's gay. I go, yeah, I totally believe it.
Yeah. Cool. All right. But it's not an underlying thing that all men are gay.
No. Look, okay. I like potpourri and candles and flowers in my house, but I don't want a man's thing in my hand. Never.
Got it. Okay.
No, give me women.
All right. Wait, you brought up Kiefer Sutherland a minute ago, and I forgot. He was just arrested for like assault and battery on like an Uber driver or something. What happened there?
Who knows what happened? He told the driver, let me out. I got to get out. And the driver was Russian. They didn't really speak great English. And Kiefer was giving him shit. If you don't let me out, I'll kill you. Or I'll beat the shit out of you. And the guy called the cops on him. They got Kiefer. Oh, but Kiefer, look, I think it means he's drinking again, because I used to hang out with Kiefer 25 years ago at the After Hours clubs in L.A., and this is when he was doing the show 24, which was a huge hit. We would be at the After Hours till 4 o'clock in the morning drinking. Everybody was out of their minds. And there was a limousine across the street ready to take Kiefer to the set to do 24. He would stumble out of that After Hours house. I don't know how he made it. And I watched the show and go, how did he get straight? What kind of coffee is he drinking that he can act 4 hours from now? So I think he's drinking again, unfortunately. And he'll settle. He'll give the guy, you know, 50 grand, 75 grand. It'll go away. But, a lot of these stars know they can get away with murder because their daddies were big and famous, and now they're big and famous. And they just take these big – look, Kiefer's done this before. He jumped on a big Christmas tree in a hotel and knocked the whole – thing over. He headbutted a guy who bumped into Brooke Shields one night, and he headbutted the guy, and he's a wild man because he drinks. So if he's beaten up or threatening a cabbie, he's back on the sauce.
Right, right. Something you were talking about made me think about the docuseries that's out, or documentary about Charlie Sheen. Did you end up watching that?
Of course. I love Charlie.
So what did you think of that? Like, do you think he's having this comeback? Like, what's the
absolutely
deal with Charlie?
Absolutely. I hate to keep saying I hung out with Charlie many times in the past. We had the same manager. When Charlie was on the down low, he wasn't hireable. And we had the same manager, which shows you how down he was. And then we would hang out a lot. And this is before Two and a Half Men. He was always honest about his drug use and how crazy it was. But I think, well, first of all, I knew girls who went to his house and stayed there for days on end. And I knew what was going on. I knew about the HIV. I broke that story, which I didn't want to do, but I did break it on radio. Charlie Sheen is a remarkable actor, great comedic actor, a great talent. I don't know what to say. Some people, we just accept the fact that they're fuck-ups. We love their acting. We love to see them in a movie. And I do think he's going to have a big renaissance and a big comeback. I think he's going to get a dramatic role or two, and people are going to see, holy shit, we have in
I
mind.
I hope he does.
I think I do, too. The guys, look, I know, hey, man, I had a 1/1,000,000th of his money. Not even. I can't even imagine the fraction I've had. I've had a ball. I don't even know. I was with him one night when a girl said, hey, Charlie. And he's like looking at her. Gorgeous girl. Charlie, it's me, Charlotte. He had no response. She goes, I spent a week at your house. You gave me your car. And he said, too many Percocets. And that's it. Like he lived such a crazy life. But every girl who hung out with him, I know a lot of girls who stayed with him, they speak so highly of him that he didn't beat them. He just liked to have fun. There were some nights that got out of hand, of course. But I think in general, we want to see Charlie come back because we all want to give somebody a second chance. We all deserve one. And he's honest to a fault about his demons. So I hope he gets a second chance. And I think he will and do well with it.
It's interesting, the people that are around him, like Denise Richards, seems like she's having so many problems right now. God. She has this show and she always seems drunk when she has these cameos in the Housewives of whatever, and she's wearing her clothes backwards. And that seems like a whole mess.
It's horrible.
And Brooke is in and out of rehab, and you know, you kind of want the best for her, but I don't know. That seems like a mess too. And then, by the way, this is the first time in a while we saw Heidi Fleiss came out in the docuseries and spoke. By the way, Heidi and I have struck up a friendship, and we talk often.
Me too. I love Heidi.
I love her. And they're doing a documentary on her right now that she's filming. They have a biopic that they're doing. And I think Audrey Plaza or whatever her name is playing her. Heidi and I are talking about doing a podcast together. We've named it The Mistress and the Madam, which is really funny.
Yeah, she's great. I love her.
But I wish her the best. You know, there's all sorts of interesting characters around Charlie. And I just think he's fun. And it's kind of like a happy, but I do wish him the best, honestly.
Hey, when he said he turned the menu over and discovered men sexually.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, that's another one. Who expected that?
Yeah, that was nuts. And it's like the things you do with drugs in your system or whatever. And it was the same thing with Armie Hammer. Remember when he disappeared and then came back and said how he tried to have sex with a guy or whatever? I mean,
it's unbelievable.
Again, what is that?
I really think it's because... Like, I'll give you Mike Tyson, Eddie Murphy. There were some guys in the 90s that these transvestite hookers who were in my neighborhood in the West Village would tell me, Eddie was here last night, Arsenio was with him, Mike Tyson came. And I'd be like, what? Why? They like us, man. They would tell me this in a delicatessen at like 4 o'clock in the morning while they're doing their makeup in the metal cold cut count. I'm like, they like us, man. I can't believe it. But sometimes there's a level of fame where you get everything you want, everything you've ever desired. You can have tigers and lions in your fucking house, 100-foot boat, anything. So you run out of things to try. I can't imagine ever being this way. But some of these guys go, let me try a guy. I don't know. Maybe there's something to it. I don't know. Like, I like a finger up my ass. Mom might say, let me try more than a finger. I don't know what they think. I can't even imagine that scenario. But I don't hold it against them. I love Charlie. I love Tyson. I've been with Mike a bunch of times. Doesn't bother me, but sex is a very different game. You get into people's sexualities and you got to be careful. It's very murky. It's like jumping in a lake and not seeing 2 feet in front of you. Sex is, sex is so different for so many people, and it's nobody's business what turns people on.
That's
so true. Army wanted to tie chicks up and they wanted to be tied up. People want to be talked down to and degraded. Whatever your thing is, keep it in your house. Okay, be happy. I'm not That's against it, but I can't imagine it, but I'm not against it.
Right, right. Well, speaking of all those dirty things, we're going to get into Sean Combs here for a second.
Oh, boy.
You know, like the talk about him has started to die down. Okay, the thing that 50, was it 50 Cent that put out the docuseries was fascinating. I mean, people watched it. And now I believe, you know, he's doing another docuseries.
On Tyler Perry.
Is that who it's about? Okay.
That's what he said. He said that, yeah.
Okay, so he's kind of riding this true crime boom. And it says he's expanding his footprint in television and film by developing new true crime projects focused on power, crime, and celebrity. Yeah. So that'll be interesting to see.
Oh, yeah.
What is the latest on Sean Combs?
There hasn't been much coming out of the prison he's in about what he's up to, but I always maintained when he was found guilty that he's not going to do the whole term. I think he'll be out in a year, and I don't foresee him having any future in the music business after this. I can't imagine
really?
What he'll do.
I don't
know what he can do. I don't know who's going to go in the studio with him. I mean, first of all, many years ago, I felt that the whole him and Biggie Smalls friendship was horseshit. I knew that he was, you know, kind of using him. And as soon as he died, he went on that tour to remember Biggie. And I said, this is all horseshit. He's making so much money off Biggie.
Yeah.
These are bad guys. But I never spoke kindly about Sean Combs when I was a gossip columnist because I knew from people. I was in that hip-hop crowd back in the 90s. I came up with everybody. Mm-hmm. And I knew he wasn't a good guy. I knew people died because of Sean. I was friends with Kim, his ex. Who wanted to go out with me? Yeah, Kim gave me her number one night, and I was like, "Wait a minute, what about you? What about your man?" It's, you know, and I thought she was beautiful, and I was like, "Yeah, I'll hang out with you." What about your man? He doesn't care. Don't worry about him. And I remember going, "What the?" Now I never called her because I didn't want any bit of that smoke. But I'm like, "What does that mean? He doesn't care." So he's always been a weirdo with sex. He's always been into guys and girls, but mainly he likes to see guys. Obviously, have sex with this Cassie. I heard the documentary blew my mind that these men would spend hours with her. And while he's directing it, again, it's a sexual kink. But what bothers me about Puffy is all the violence in his life, the guns and the shooting people and beating people up. And I don't see how he can come back and maintain a music career. I don't know what he's going to do. He has money forever. But I don't see him coming out.
I just think that power, right, that he still has some sort of power, and especially with his money, you know, he'll come out, and I can't imagine he's not going to try and do something. And I think that there are plenty of people that are still covering for him. There's probably terrible stuff that never came out, and those people will be rewarded and they will do stuff with him. Like, do you actually think that anything really happened with Justin Bieber?
Yeah. Absolutely. And I know that business. I know what they do. I know that they have these youngsters come in like Tevin Campbell, who you've completely forgotten about, who was going to be a huge
I'm obsessed
hit.
With Tevin Campbell.
Okay.
And he disappeared.
He disappeared.
And was such a good singer.
Right.
And I think he disappeared when he kind of became a teenager and was in his 20s and kind of everyone knew he was gay. But these are the people that I'm so fascinated by what happened. And could it be that they got wrapped up in some stuff with Sean Combs and then could not like function.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Mace is another one. Mace and Puffy were great together. And he split and became a minister or something. Look, you know, I know they get these young talent in the room and have them do something that I can't say. Look, I was so in that crowd with an ex-girlfriend of mine who was black that I know so many of these stories without having to print them. I just keep it in the back of my mind, but I know what they do. They take a youngster who's talented and make them do something they don't want to do. And they film it and it's on camera. And if that kid, that person doesn't like the contract or gets uppity, we can release that tape. You want that tape out, motherfucker? And they're like, no, I'll do it. I'll sign. The rap hip hop world is like the mafia. That's why they call themselves Gotti and Murder, Inc. They're copying the mafia, not the homosexual part, but that power part of we got you under our thumb. You can't do shit because we got dirt on you. And I knew that Puffy was going down on Andre Harrell 100 years ago when he was a youngster coming up the ranks in the music business. Russell Simmons, another guy. He used to take my ex-girlfriend out, and I'd say, you're always going to have a Russell when I'm out of town. Because he's harmless. He doesn't like girls like you think he does. What? And then you call 30 years later, you go, holy shit. Now I'm starting to understand this stuff. Like, it's a very sordid world, rap and hip hop. Really, really sordid.
Yeah. What other things are you watching on streaming or on TV these days?
Oh, God, I watch everything. I'm a junkie when it comes to that. I just finished His and Hers with John
Bernthal. I'm watching it now. It's fantastic.
The twist at the end is going to blow your mind.
Oh, great.
I won't say more than that. That killed me. That was something else.
I love The Mayor of Easttown. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I never saw that one.
That's a good one. I never wanted to watch it, and Dan wanted to watch it, so we started, and I couldn't stop. Very, very good.
You know what sucks now? There's so many opportunities to see stuff, and we binge, right? We don't want to wait a week. It's to think about waiting a week, it seems so foreign. Like, I'm not going to wait a week to see it. I want to see it tonight, tomorrow.
I get so upset that Landman.
Landman. I love Landman.
Yeah, but it takes too long. I can't wait till every Sunday.
And now I know.
The Pit is back out and you have to wait till every Thursday. It's terrible.
I'm watching The Pit now. I didn't see it. I'm watching season one. I'm not crazy about The Pit. I don't know.
It takes you a while to get into
really?
It. I thought it was boring. I was like, wait, what's happening? And then I couldn't stop watching. So it does take a while to get into.
But Landman, I'm all about Landman. I know Billy Bob when he made Sling Blade. He's a great guy. He's a really generous, wonderful guy. I knew him with Angelina Jolie. We were hanging out one night and he said, we're at the Sunset Marquee in Hollywood. He's like, man, Angie kept knocking on my door last night. I said, what? He goes, Angelina, man, she just banging on my door. I said, why didn't you open it? I don't know, man. I don't know what's going on. I got a girl back in such and such. I said, wait, she wants to be with you? And I remember going, you have to be with her for all of us who can't be with her. What are you doing?
Yeah.
And he goes, she wants to get married. I said, marry her. Go. About a week later, he married her. And I mean, I know it didn't end up right, but they're still friends. But Billy Bob's a great character. He's a wonderful guy, really generous, sweet guy. I love Landman. I love Allie Larder. I didn't think I'd ever like her like this in my life.
I mean, it's not like she ever fell from grace, but an upcome.
And Demi Moore,
Moore
just
blew up. Great actress. I mean, the two of those girls, the girl that plays her daughter, one of the most beautiful actresses you've ever seen, and very good at her role.
There's about six women in that show that I'm crazy about.
Yeah. And Demi Moore looks great. I mean, you could see she's had a lot of plastic surgery, but who cares?
She
looks like a very good looking older woman. And she plays that part perfectly.
And by the way, here's something you like that I know for sure. I talked to Billy Bob not too long ago. Demi Moore and Andy Garcia get to keep all their clothes. And Demi Moore is wearing couture shit.
Yeah.
You see that coat? She had a coat that hung over her shoulders a couple of weeks ago. She's keeping all that shit. I love that. I love that about some movies and TVs. They give you your own wardrobe. That's awesome. But I like the attorney a lot. The chick that's hanging around.
Oh, she's gorgeous. Gorgeous. She never seen her before. I don't know where she came from.
And my theory is that she's going to get knocked up by this wildcatter. And that's going to be a big thing for next season.
Oh, but that's your theory. My prediction was that he was going to die in.
Oh, wow. Really?
On the, you know, wherever he is on the water. And it's going to be devastating for her because it's going to be this big love story. And then she's going to want to sue her own, the company she works for. That's what I thought was going to happen.
Well, I think that Allie Larder and Billy Bob, there's going to be a break off there. I think they've been too close this whole season. There's got to be a split. Something's got to happen. And don't forget, she won all that money at the casino. She won like $300,000. He's been fired. He might need that money. There's a lot of things happening, but I do think the attorney's going to get knocked up, and I'm all for it. I love that girl. Whatever her name is, she's beautiful.
Gorgeous. Gorgeous
girl. The daughter is dating Jacob Elordi from Frankenstein.
Right. I saw that too. I don't even know who that guy is, and she could do much better. She could go for like A-list. Like she's
I mean, he's 6'5".
Fine.
He's a good-looking dude. Ghost, you didn't see Frankenstein?
No.
Oh,
that's
my God.
That's not my kind of movie.
All right. I'm telling you, it might win the Oscar.
Really?
But they're going to give it to one battle after another. That movie did nothing for me with DiCaprio and Benicio.
Yeah, I didn't see it. When the Golden Globes came out, I didn't even understand who half the things were. I didn't even know.
We weren't up for best podcast. How do you figure that?
I know. And you know, it's funny because I looked at that list and it's basically like just a list of celebrities, right?
It's Hollywood Lefty. It's Hollywood Left. And I like Smart List. I like Amy Poehler. I listen to her show every week. I love Smart List.
Is it good? Never miss it.
Yeah, she's Amy Poehler. She's funny. She got a good repartee with a guest. It's a kind of a talk show thing. They're sitting across from each other for a half hour, an hour.
How did Joe Rogan not make the list?
No, that's my point. You cannot mention Joe Rogan or Adam Carolla, who've been doing this for years. They're the podfathers, basically.
Right.
Rogan's bigger than God. So everybody on that list, from Smartlist to Call Me Daddy, all that, they're all left. They're all liberals. And again, fine, they don't talk politics on their show, but that's what they are, and that's who they're voting for. They would never put Rogan on that list.
The Call Me Daddy or Call Her Daddy or whatever it is. So I don't get it. All right, half the people she interviews are people I've never heard of. They're like 21 years old, and right. I don't even understand what they're talking about.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, she has like a Jane Fonda. I looked her up recently because I was like, wait, I haven't. You know, seen a lot on her recently. And what was incredible to me was the guests were in the last like couple weeks, which I thought, oh, they've made a big push because obviously she's now up for something. Kim Kardashian, Bethany Frankel, Andy Cohen, those are names we all know. And like the biggest gets, so to speak, because they don't do people's shows. So I don't know if that was a push so that she would win that award or like what's happening, but I don't know why those people would do her podcast. I'll tell you why,
because then the day has ended where you do the Tonight Show or Jimmy Kimmel or any of other shows, and you don't get a million people. You don't get a million people hearing your 8 minutes of funny tidbits or your new movie coming out. You do an hour podcast and you're going to get 20, 30 million. Some of these people have huge audiences that I can't even fathom. But why would you want to spend 7 minutes on Kimmel when you can spend an hour with somebody and get 30 million people to hear what you have to say? It's a no-brainer. Television is dying in that capacity. Late night shows don't mean anything anymore. All they're good for is hits on YouTube. So now you got writers trying to do bits with the talent that'll end up on YouTube tomorrow. It's not Johnny Carson or David Letterman or Jay Leno. Those days are over. Having a talk show is nothing anymore. Having a podcast that reaches millions is everything. But I'm getting nervous about podcasting because I never wanted this medium to become, come on my show and tell me what you're pushing. What are you plugging? I don't like that. I'm sick of that. When I had my talk show for 4 glorious weeks, I said, I'm not doing promotional shit. I just want to talk to people like Merv Griffin and Johnny Carson did. No plugging. Mm. I'll plug myself, not them. And let's just talk. So that's gone. And I think that right now podcasts are becoming, like, I'm sick of seeing one guest do like the circuit of podcasts that I listen to. I'm like, I heard him on Bill Maher. I heard him on Armchair Expert.
I'm going to hear him on Smartless.
Well, how many times do I have to hear this guy? But it's all about clicks and likes. And I can't believe what these guys are making for their podcast. I mean, $60, $70 million deals. I can't imagine how these sponsors are getting their money back.
Right.
How do you get...
What manager is setting that up for them? Because you and I need that manager.
I don't know. You know what? My manager and agent both died about 5-6 summers ago in the same summer. And I haven't even gotten, I've not even been back thinking about Hollywood at all. I might make a stab at it again for some TV shit I want to do. But the business is so different, Rachel. It's not like it was when I was in it. It's just so different. They're hiring people that have large YouTube followings, large Instagram followers. Like Teyana Taylor is a great example, who was in one battle after another. Teyana Taylor was on MTV's My Sweet 16, right? That show that showed these spoiled kids having the most extravagant Sweet 16 parties. So this girl was always on the radar. Then she became a good dancer in New York City. So she was teaching some celebrities how to dance, and she ended up on some tours with Beyonce. So she was coming. She married a New York Nick, had a few kids. Then she did this video for Kanye called Fade, where she's in a crop top, blue tank top, magnificent body, kind of a G-string on the bottom. And she's in a weight room dancing and posing. Any man would see this 10 times in a row. That's how sexy she is. And then she just blew up. Now she's got a Golden Globe. She's directing movies. I don't know what happened, but I don't see her as being so multi-talented, but because she has 20 million followers, let's get her in a movie. Let's get her to direct
got
something.
It. Yeah.
That's all it's about. You know, even trying to publish a book. I'm writing my third book now. And my agent tells me, I have a book agent still, tells me, you know, it's so different now. They just, you know, what can you bring when it's published? Can you bring 10 million people? No, I can't. Well, you know, that's gonna be a big part of how they say yes or no. I never was big on social media trying to get a million followers. I just,
right,
that's not my thing.
Right,
so,
right, right.
But it's not about the quality of your work. It's how many people can you bring to the table? And unfortunately, we're getting pounded by that. Sydney Sweeney's a sex bot. I love her body. Can we all agree that her face is like a 6.5, maybe? I mean, she's kind of a little bit of a slow-looking person, if you will. Really. I mean, I'd love to date her if I was a young boy. Absolutely. Oh, I'd be out of my mind. I'd love to fuck Sydney Sweeney. But really, if you look at her face and you go, yeah, that was all about her body, man. Her body's insane. But her face, you can find a better face at the mall. Come on.
Oh, my God.
But right, she's got followers. She's got so many people. Why don't you? Of course you got to hire her.
It's a phenomenon, you know. I hear you, but I don't even understand it because the algorithms don't even make sense because people are buying followers and it's a lot of bots. So none of that makes sense to me. And all these influencers, you know, I think, you know, advertisers have started to get with the program and realize they're buying fake shit with these people that are essentially nobody.
I don't understand advertising because I can't imagine how they get their money back on some of these situations. But I'll tell you who I do like, and I don't mind seeing it. I really like seeing Kylie Jenner and Timothy Chalamet together. I think they look adorable and cute. I like his chutzpah. I like what he's doing with his career. And I think she looks so sweet next to him.
She does.
I don't hear much out of her mouth, which maybe is a good thing because she's probably dumb as a stump. But look, she has two kids, right? She has two kids?
I think so, yes.
You know? I mean, I don't know. I like them two together. She doesn't bother me. I'm not really a Kardashian fan, but look, we have to admit they, in the last 15, 20 years, have we ever seen something like this? This phenomenon of a family of girls getting so wealthy and popular? It's unbelievable.
No, I feel bad for the brother. I mean, he's just the complete outcast. I know. Geez, what a loser he must feel like, you know. She doesn't bother me. Listen, she was the ugly duckling that got turned into a beautiful, hot girl. I mean, she doesn't look her age. She looks like a hot 38-year-old, but whatever. and her makeup line, I guess, does really well. And, you know, good for her. He's another one who I thought was gay, but okay.
I thought so, too, when he came out. I saw him dating Madonna's daughter, and I thought, this is a bunch of shit. He's a little gay boy, but he's not. You could tell now that he's grown into his skin. He's not. But I think in Hollywood, you know, he had that effeminate look. So they put him in that movie, you know, Call Me By My Name or whatever it was called, that gay movie. So you get stamped right away. But I think that, was it Courtney and Travis? I think they're on the rocks, right? I've heard they're on the rocks.
So boring to me. I mean, I agree. Is just the grossest couple. I don't find either one of them remotely interesting or attractive.
Yeah. You know, I know. I think if I was able to date Courtney, I think after a week, I'd want to get the hell out of Dodge. She seems so boring to me.
There's nothing cute about her. Like, she also always acts like she's so bored and she talks so slow. And
right.
She just like, to me, the hottest one is Courtney. No, sorry. Chloe.
Chloe. Well, God, this is her third face at this point.
I know.
Yeah, I agree.
Her third face looks amazing.
I agree. Listen, I know all of them have had work, but I'm on record on my show saying I think Kim Kardashian is one of the most beautiful women we've ever seen. I don't like her from the waist down. I hate that big giant ass for the black man's target. I don't want that. But from the waist up, Kim, I think, is gorgeous. I think Khloe's gorgeous. I think Kendall's gorgeous. Kylie's a fun time. And Courtney, you know, like you said, boring, whatever. But if you met her at the mall, you date her. I mean, I would. But I'll tell you, I saw a video of the...
You put her in some Skims, she'll probably look good.
Oh, by the way, they're all wearing, I mean, two pair of Skims. Yeah. This sort of video of Travis's daughter, Alabama, who he had with Shayna Mokler, right?
Yeah.
I knew Shayna back in the day, crazy, crazy girl. But this chick got $200,000 in presents for Christmas. I can't believe the amount of Birkin bags and Chanel and shoes and underwear and... laptops, $200,000 for Christmas. This is unbelievable. What are you doing to your kid?
It's crazy. Yeah, that whole family just bores me.
I know, it's gross.
Wait, I want to go back to one last thing about what's on TV. Have you seen this new show on Netflix called Members Only Palm Beach?
I did see snippets of it. I know they're having a little bit of trouble because they want to film in Mar-a-Lago and people want them thrown out of Mar-a-Lago. I forget the woman's name, but...
Rosalyn.
Yeah, is that the one that, I'm so far, I mean, I've been to Palm Beach twice. I know a little bit about it. My buddies, we're 63, so we're not that old crowd, old money kind of people, but I don't know. What do you think about it? That's your hometown. You live there now. What do you think about it?
Yes, I've seen it. I've interviewed one of the girls on it. I know a couple characters on it. So for people listening, let me just say members only. It's a new reality series set in Palm Beach, quote unquote, that centers on wealth, exclusivity, and the social dynamics of an ultra elite community. Even before the full rollout, the show has generated significant buzz online, with viewers closely watching both the cast and the off-camera drama connected to it. All right, let me give you some background here. I was filming a pilot, or I had asked to be part of a pilot that was being done for Bravo called Snowbirds. And a couple of the people that are on the show, which were extras in it, like friends of Gail, the woman with the wig who falls off a chair. She was a cast member on Snowbirds. Another woman who was in another couple women who were in some of the scenes as extras were also part of it. They ended up getting a deal with Netflix, so they beat us out.
Wow.
The casting in this is horrendous. I don't get it.
Really?
None of these women live in Palm Beach. But by the way, that's the biggest talk of the town, that none of the women live in Palm Beach.
Oh, they don't? Where are they, Jupiter?
But here's what I say. I don't care. Like, I know it's called Members Only Palm Beach. Who cares? Like, why is it such a scandal that they don't live here? All right. It shouldn't have been called that. It should have just been called maybe Members Only.
Yeah.
Members Only Florida.
Yeah.
Taja lives in Boca and Miami. I know Taja for a long time. I actually really like Taja. I just had her on my show. She's married to, or a significant other of, David Cohn, the pitcher, I guess.
Yeah.
Cy Award winner, like legit.
Yeah, I love David.
The other women are from West Palm all the way down to Miami. Okay.
Really?
And it looks like, you know, to me, Bravo's out. It had its peak and now it's done.
Yeah.
And now Netflix is taking, other streaming networks are taking over the shows. But this is similar as to Housewives, but, you know, all the girls kind of fight and create this, you know, animosity against each other and who really belongs. And the big drama outside of it is, well, none of these women belong because they wouldn't be let into our community because they act like such animals and they dress like ghouls, you know?
There's
all this drama going on. Taja was on my show and got into the whole thing with Gail. And I want people to know this. I know Gail. She lives in a rental in West Palm and has some roommates. And during the summer, because she thought we were part of Snowbirds, she rented a room in the Hamptons and shared it with this other woman so that they could say that they're Snowbirds. This is not a woman worth $100 million that she claims. She claims she's the queen of Palm Beach. She's just not. I'd never even heard of her when we started filming for Snowbirds. And my family is from Palm Beach. My mother lives there. My grandparents have lived there for 90 years. My whole family has lived there. And I grew up coming here. No one's ever heard of Gail Brophy. So I just thought it was interesting. But it made for good TV. If you could keep up with it. I mean, even me being here, it was hard to get into. But once you get into the fourth episode and Gail's falling over and her wig's falling off of her head, you know, it's great.
God.
I think they would not have been offered a second season had so much press not arose after the fact. Taja was on my show. She's received a cease and desist from Rosalyn about talking about the fact that what you brought up, that Mar-a-Lago is talking about throwing them out. For the record, Taja didn't start that rumor. It was on Page Six. I asked her about it and she just replied with, yeah, I saw that, you know, she should be thrown out or whatever. She shouldn't be a member, whatever she said. I don't even remember what she said, but she was given a cease and desist about the podcast she did with me just because she happened to talk about it. These girls are all fucking nuts. It's crazy.
Now listen, the Housewife franchise is on its way out. Andy Cohen knows it. It's just, everything has a run. He had a great run. He made millions of dollars. Good for him. I know Andy way back in the day when he worked for CBS News. I know when I was at the news. But look, there's a certain kind of woman. Well, I had my column in New York.
Oh, there we go. Sorry. I lost you for two seconds. Just repeat that one last line.
I was saying that Andy, the Housewives franchise is kind of on its way out. These women, I was going to say, when I had my column in New York, Bethany Frankel was somebody who was always out in parties and trying to be mentioned in the columns. people don't understand. Back in the day, New York City's gossip columns were it. There was no other place to be mentioned. There was no gossip column in Utah or New Jersey. It was New York City. So Bethany would call me. I was at that party. Can you put my name down that I was at that party? And I remember going, Bethany, there's like six Hollywood. I can't. It just doesn't make sense. So she was always at my door. Dolores Catania, same thing. I don't know how many years ago. She met me on Instagram or something. She wanted me, can you get me a job? Can you get me on TV? They're so hungry for fame, these people. Right. I'm glad they got it, but it ain't all what it's cracked up to be. And you see it. You see how much they're lying and pretending. And it's all nonsense. And people like you and me, when we get too close to it, because we've been around these people and know them for who they are, it takes the luster off what we're watching. We know that's not. This isn't real. This is horse shit, you know?
Exactly. All right, AJ, what? Tell people where they could find your podcast, Fame is a Bitch.
My podcast, I do a couple of free podcasts called Relationships is a Bitch and Everything is a Bitch, but my Politics is a Bitch and Fame is a Bitch are behind a paywall, and that's patreon.com/fameisabitch, and it's a mixture of everything you've heard today, plus stories about my family. I have a wild upbringing and a crazy life, as you do too, so I always incorporate that into my stories as well as the anything we're talking about, Hollywood. And Hollywood always gives. There's always, it always provides. You wait a few days and here are three arrests: Daniel Stern, Kiefer Sutherland, Timothy Busfield. Yeah. It just keeps on giving, keeps on giving.
Anything new and exciting coming up in your future?
Just finishing my third book. My third book is called Fame Adjacent, which is on Substack, ajbenza.substack.com. I think I have four chapters up now. I'll finish that before summer. And then I'll go out to my agent and try to get it published. But it's all about my brushes with fame, my crazy stories of meeting people from Frank Sinatra to Mike Tyson to working with Sly Stallone and John Gotti, just luminaries, Weinstein, Howard Stern, all crazy, wonderful, wild stories of what it was like while I had my ascent into this crazy occupation, whatever you call it.
Right. And any stories that you're going to be covering in the future on one of your shows that we should start paying attention to, or something that's
I think that I'm always going to concentrate on my politics show, what's happening with this uprising of women. I think that's something we have to really focus on. I don't know what's happened to men. I know you're a married woman now. And if you told your husband, I want to get in the car and go fuck around with the feds and slow their operation down, he'd say, Rachel, get the fuck in the house. What are you doing? Get in the house. Play with the dog. I see your dog. What's the pom's name?
Mishka.
Oh, I love it. I had a pom when I was a baby, when I was a little boy.
I also have an extra large bully. So oh, you do? I have three dogs total. So I have one from 100 pounds all the way down.
Oh, wow.
She's only supposed to be 7 pounds, but she's like 19.
Probably 19. Yeah, that's a good mom. You feed her good. My Shih Tzu. She gave me a Shih Tzu. That's how we met. She gave me a Shih Tzu because I lost my Japanese chin and she felt like I should have a dog. Wow. And I didn't know her. And we met. And when she said, I want to give you this puppy, we met in Death Valley, halfway between Vegas and California. And when she got out of the car with the dog, I knew I was in love. And wow. I took the puppy and I fell in love with her.
In love with the girl or the dog?
Fell in love with, well, the dog instantly, but the girl. I fell in love with her. And we went off. We were separating. And then I had almost 5 years with her, which were tremendous, but it didn't work out. But I let her have the dog because she has the dog's mommy and she has three other Shih Tzus. And I love my dog so much that I wanted to be around all her family. I don't want to take her away in LA and just be alone with me. Yeah. So I always get pictures and hear stories about how much she's happy. And okay. I love little dogs. So that's really it. I'm on the look. I got to get a girl, Rachel. What's going on?
All right. Well, are we going to put you on Bumble or Raya?
I just feel so weird doing that shit. I've never done it.
By the way, you know how that's how I met Dan on Bumble.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I met him like 4 years ago, talked to him on the phone, then didn't talk to him, never met him in person till like 3 years later or whatever.
Well, what did it? What made you take the leap? What was the final thing that you said, this is my guy?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I just think timing at the time was not right. And by the way, funny story. When he called me, I was living in the Hamptons for the summer. Wyatt was in camp there or something. And Dan lived in Florida, but he owns like four security companies. Okay. At the time, it was two security companies. And he, when we exchanged numbers or whatever on Bumble, he said, oh, you know, I have a security company and I'm here for Michael Rubin's white party. And I'm listening to him talk. And we had a great conversation. It was really nice. And I hang up and I'm like, I'm not trying to be rude, but I don't date the security guard. I date the guy who's throwing the party. I didn't realize he was the CEO of major companies. Jesus. And it's like weapons detection. He's not a security guard, but I didn't know that. So I was a real bitch back then. Wow. And I didn't mean to be a bitch, but I just thought I needed to be with a certain type of person. Anyway, you know, whatever.
You're very intimidating. You're intimidating. I told you this from day one. You're a beautiful woman. But you come with an intimidation factor that a lot of guys don't want to even test. But which I don't care. I'll go after the most beautiful women, famous women in the world, and I've been successful at it. But I know there's sometimes you go, this is going to be a fuck. This is going to be tough. She, right. I know what she wants. I don't have what she wants. So why am I going to go in there and even campaign? I don't have it. You know what I mean? But and I always knew, like, even not to bring up a sore subject, even the picture of you crying when your fiance was killed. I remember going, and you did interviews after that. And I'm like, this fucking girl is very, there's something about this chick. And I said to you a long time ago when we met, I knew I was going to know you. I knew I was going to meet you and be friends with you. I didn't know how, but I said, I know I am. I know it. And then we became friends through my friendship and your friendship with I guess the Dabbies are the people I know. I don't know who you know that knew me, but it's through my friends, the Dabbies in New Jersey that we met.
Yeah,
I forget the connection.
I don't really remember. I thought it was through the guy who owns Podcast Junkies, Brian.
Howie?
Yes.
We also know we have friends in the.
A million mutual friends. Yeah,
I always thought, yeah, Rachel's going to be good, Rachel. And then I wondered, you know, forgive me for this joke, but did you get an invite to Tiger's 50th?
I did not.
I'm gonna save this for you on my show because I want to ask you, and I'll prepare you. Okay. I'll be decent. I'm not gonna be Howard Stern, but I want to know how a man feels. You got to be a very secure man to come at you and know what's in your past, respectively about Tiger Woods. That's like a man that's not really equipped to handle that shit would fold. But your man must be very secure in himself that he doesn't care about that was old a long time ago, blah, blah, blah. But it is something that could.
But when I'm on your show, I'll save it for your show. Okay, I will tell you numerous stories of very powerful men.
Yeah.
When they got a little bit into too much alcohol or got upset with me about something, the first thing they would be triggered by is, well, I'm not a professional golfer.
There you go.
I never will be, so I don't know if I'm good enough or whatever. But I'll tell you some specific shows.
All right, and I'll tell you because I had my supermodel girlfriend in the 90s, and then we broke up after 4 or 5 years, and still great friends. She's godmother to my daughter. But I would date other girls, and if things started to go bad, they'd say, sorry, I'm not a supermodel. Like, it always comes down to that. It's like, oh, for fuck's sake, I don't care what you do. You're just hot. You're beautiful. You're funny. Move on. Just move on. I know. Right. It sucks.
Right. Well, AJ, it's always a pleasure to see you. We will continue to do this. I can't wait till you finally invite me on your show.
I'm going to listen. Let me get out of Chicago. And I promise George can hold me to it. I'll get you on in the next 2 weeks. We'll talk about life, marriage, relationships.
Okay.
Because,
have me on your relationship show.
No, that'd be great. You know what? That's a great idea because we have my friend Kenny, who lives in Palm Beach with his wife, Irina, who is a relationship expert, and she's Russian. She's really, really smart and wonderful. And last time I was in town, I was hoping that all of us to get together, but I couldn't. Yeah. But next time I go down there to see them, I'll make a whole thing with you and your man, and we'll all get together and have a good time.
100%. I can't wait. Right. Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time. Misunderstood.